Follow Jesus. This morning there are limited copies of the sermon. If you so desire, you ask the ushers. Otherwise, follow me. Let us pray. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to follow you, to be with you, and to travel with you across seas, oceans, and lakes, and to travel with you along borders and walk with people who are otherwise called names, marginalized. Help me this morning, Lord, with your words. And let the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable to you, my rock and my Lord. Amen. Traveling with Jesus had never been easy. In the days of Jesus, and even in our contemporary Christian journey. Traveling with Jesus requires one to sacrifice a lot and probably be subject to many tough conditions, smiles, and joys. It could even mean to be subservient to others in humility. Traveling with Jesus could require a life consistent with God's divine grace. Traveling with Jesus from a Christological and theological perspective requires the kenosis. Kenosis is interpreted as emptying oneself. It is self-emptying of one's own will and totally dependent on God and God's divine will. It could even involve a struggle with the powers that divide. It could mean losing your life and all that you have and stand for. I will narrow to what we have in our series this summer. In traveling with Jesus, according to our series, we may find ourselves crossing to the other side of the sea or lake. In Luke 8:22, Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go to the other side of the sea." In articulating this text, Pastor Young asks, how often do we cross to the other side of the lake to meet people who are different from us? She sensitively describes our diversity in this church as a beautiful lake in our midst, and everyone lives around that lake in his or her own affinity, groups, or just individually. Crossing to the other side of the sea, she continued, could be problematic. However, she encouraged us to try and embrace our diversity in this church, as this will resonate with an ideal church. Based on the story of Zacchaeus, a man despised because of the nature of his job and money, Pastor Allison Swansea reminds us that traveling with Jesus is welcoming those among us. Those who might be looked as outsiders and who are left on the margin. Those who have been ruled out of bounds and who might surprise us with their generosity and faith. It could be these people just want to see Jesus. Traveling with Jesus could require transgressing some of the fundamental principles of our faith and religion. It could require walking and healing on a Sabbath, like pastors do. And again, like what Jesus did in the healing of a sick woman on the Sabbath. In the story of the two sisters, Martha and Mary, Pastor Young last week reminds us that traveling with Jesus requires doing what matters the most. And so this morning, the last segment in the series in traveling with Jesus is traveling along borders. Traveling along the border. When we hear about border traveling in recent days, we begin to think about what our president stands for in making the wall between the borders of South and North America. Borders indeed are interesting places. They can be places of uncertainties, great tensions and divisions. Borders are places where people with different nationalities and backgrounds and perspectives see one another with caution and suspicion. No one can pass through the two territories freely. During the Sierra Leonean's long years of civil war from 1999 to 2000, I happened to be among people who crossed the borders of Sierra Leone to other neighboring West African countries. Crossing these borders had been places and times of fear and hostility. Our bags were such, we had to wait for hours, and some people were being detained and questioned for their involvement in the war. Some people were killed and their property confiscated. Today, we see the border issue between Canada and the United States. Because Canada and the United States speak almost the same language and share common religious and political ties, there is not much of a problem compared to that of the South through Mexico. The border between Mexico and the United States is looked at suspiciously because of the people, the drugs, the guns being smuggled through these borders. People coming from that direction of the country may seem different in their cultural orientation than those of the Canadian borders. Many, many are looked at fearfully, distrustfully, and with suspicion. In today's scripture, we see Jesus walking and traveling in such a territory. Luke is telling us categorically that this story took place in a racially mixed environment. In a racially mixed area. And so let us recount the story again. Jesus had set up to go to Jerusalem, and we are not told in the text why. But when you read further, it could be close to Passover, the time we call Palm Sunday. He finds himself between the regions of Samaria and Galilee, which were his frequent borders and boundary space and areas of ministry. As he enters a village, 10 lepers approach, calling out to him for help, but keeping their distance because of their physical conditions. They addressed him, "Master." And so, noticing these lepers, Jesus immediately sends them to the priest to confirm their healing. And on their way to the priest, they discovered they were physically ill of the leprosy. After the healing, the focus narrows to one of the lepers, who alone returned to say thanks to Jesus. And it was during this conversation that we are told that the one who returned in this borderland conversation is a Samaritan, a foreigner, and a stranger. Jesus said, "We are not 10 healed. Where are the rest of the 9? No one came back to say thanks, but only this foreigner, this Samaritan." Jesus said to him, as the story continues, "Arise and go. Your faith has made you well." Arise and go. Your faith has made you well. Let me point out some details in this text. Firstly, I have never been to Palestine, Jerusalem, or traveled to Israel and the Middle East. However, from my studies of the map of Palestine and Israel, Samaria and Galilee border each other. And for me, I do not see any big region between them. And even if there were any region between them, this Jerusalem route through Samaria and Galilee could be an odd route to Jerusalem. We can go back and forth to study the topography of these regions as they were in the days of Jesus, if we desire, when you go home. But my inclination, according to the writer's point of view, about the border between Samaria and Galilee could be theological rather than geographical. It could be that instead of traveling between the geographical borders of Galilee and Samaria, Jesus was traveling between the physical and spiritual borders of people who are marginalized and call other names. As you read along, we could tell that Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem to meet some religious and political leaders. And his encounter along the way typically reveals the nature of the kingdom he intends to establish in the future. This encounter happens in a middle space where one would expect ethnic, religious tensions and rivalries. And in this text, Jesus shows here that we could travel along these borders. He could travel along these borders of ethnic, social, and religious tensions. Secondly, leprosy in the biblical times was an infectious disease. It was considered incurable, and those diagnosed with leprosy were not only banned from society, but were considered ritually unclean. In the days of Jesus, to touch a leper defiled someone. Leprosy, again, in the days of Jesus, and in the eyes of the religious authorities, was a sign of God's disfavor. To the religious authorities and powers, the cure of a leper was as difficult as raising someone from the dead. To have leprosy was a nemesis, and those diagnosed were considered outcast and marginalized. Jesus traveled along borders with these people. He used the geographical space to make a theological point. He demonstrated what his kingdom would be like. He demonstrated that in his kingdom, there will be no distinction between races, social classes, religion, and ethnic borderlines. Furthermore, after the healing, the narrative turns to one person. Jesus had told the lepers to go and show themselves to the priest, who definitely would clear them from their ailment, from their sickness, and the priest will allow them to enter the mainstream of the society. In this narrative, we are told that the rest of the lepers, after recognizing that they were healed, continued to go to the priest to get that clearance. But one said, "Wait a minute. I need to return and give thanks before I continue this journey to the priest." He came back, prostrated himself, and said thanks to Jesus. You never know where gratitude would come from unlikely situations. We are told in this narrative that this man was a foreigner, a Samaritan, a stranger, someone the religious people in the days of Jesus will not look forward to as an example. But something happened anyway along this border, despite all this division. Jesus touched and said to this foreigner, this stranger, this Samaritan, someone different from the traditional religious norms of Jesus' society, and said, "Arise and go. Your faith has made you clean." As I reflect on this text, I am reminded of my first encounter with former pastor, now pastor emeritus, Dick Cousin of Campbell United Methodist Church. Though then in the Sierra Leone, in the United Methodist Connection, I came as a stranger to this church. When I was introduced to Pastor Cousin as an ordained pastor from the West African Central Conference, he gave me the bulletin right away, up front, to help him with the liturgy up here in this sanctuary, without question. As a foreigner, he listened to me and tried to know who I am and what are my needs. Without further questions, and before he retired, he helped set the stage for the West African ministry in this church. I want to say thanks to him and the entire Campbell United Methodist Church for making along, for walking along borders with people who came and looked like strangers, who appeared to be foreigners. But we are not despised, accepted, but we are accepted to be part of Campbell United Methodist Connection. This is what Jesus demonstrated along the borders of Galilee and Samaria. He walked along the borders of those who have been marginalized and those who have been cast out. He walked along the borders of those who were called foreigners. He listened to their cries and needs, and indeed found ways to help them out. He empathized with them rather than sympathized with them. He showed them that he feels their needs and pains. He showed them that they are part of God's kingdom. He showed them that they are in God's hands. He traveled with them in every aspect of their needs and pains. Traveling with Jesus requires walking along borders with people. Traveling along borders with someone indicates that we travel with them in every direction. It is a journey. It is a journey. And in this journey, you can listen to them. You can enjoy them. You can share things with them. And in this process, you are able to understand them better. Traveling along borders with someone is talking the talk and walking the walk with them. This is what Jesus did when he helped the lepers and touched the foreigners and demolished ethnic, social, and religious borderlands. How are we as a church today traveling along borders with people? Of course, there are so many areas we travel along borders today. We have our Sierra Savage project, which our youth are involved in, the jail ministry, the African initiative to go across to the other side. I want to see how many people are willing to cross to the other side of the sea to go to Sierra Leone and walk along the borders with Sierra Leoneans. When you are consistently and constantly traveling or walking along with people, you are going to understand them better than you ever did. It is a lifestyle that Christians can ever obtain from Jesus, brothers and sisters. John Wesley and his followers did similar things. After flouting parish boundaries about who had authority to preach in the Anglican Church, in England, they were attacked by the Church of England and by other institutions and even by mobs. But Wesley and his preachers continued to walk among the neglected, the needy, and the marginalized. Believe me, brothers and sisters, today we have people who live in the margin, in our midst, and in our society. People who are treated as outsiders and who are treated invisibly or unloved because of their color, accent, or skin, or because of who they are and how they look or where they are coming from. Jesus clearly tells us in this text that they are all loved and a part of God's kingdom. Jesus calls us to accept all. All means all, irrespective of borderlands. But again, as a hen, we might consider the part of ourselves, those hidden borderlands of ourselves, where we may least want to be seen and most need to be touched by Jesus as he touched the leper who returned gratitude and thanksgiving for what God has done for him. Christ encourages us not to be afraid of borderland involvement. And I do think Christ will mind nothing about us. I do think Christ will mind meeting us at places, will not mind meeting us at places where we find ourselves involved with borderland issues. By recognizing Christ in those areas of our borderlands, we may find our deepest selves, a new outpouring of God's grateful love and God's grace that makes our life peaceful and loved. Amen.